invite your attention to the reading of Romans 13, the first five verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid? Be not afraid of the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he heareth not, beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake.
In many parts of the world today, there are people who would make the statement, "I'm thankful to be a Christian." Throughout this country, there are many people who would make the statement, "I'm thankful to be an American." I'm thankful to be able to make the statement tonight, "I'm thankful to be a Christian in America." Perhaps we take for granted the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy. All of us are aware, I think, that come Tuesday, this country will celebrate a day that, in a sense, is set aside to celebrate our independence, our freedoms, our opportunities. Again, I wonder if we sometimes take such a day for granted. I'm thankful to be in a country where, as a part of our Declaration of Independence, it is said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, there are some people in some countries today to whom these ideas do not have the same meaning that they have to us. Aren't you thankful that we can come together tonight in a setting like this and worship God as we understand the Bible to teach? And that other people, even though we may think they're wrong religiously, at least have the right to meet together today in the freedom of this nation and worship God as they believe it's right. If we do not accomplish anything else tonight, I hope by the time this service is over that we will have just a little bit more appreciation of the subject of freedom, and that perhaps it will help us to think about it throughout this week and throughout the rest of the year, and to often express our appreciation to God that we have the opportunities that we enjoy. Our text tonight is a companion passage to the passage that Brother Fulkerson read from Romans 13. I want us to center our minds in 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 13. A passage that says almost the same thing as the one that he read in Romans, but one that sort of lends itself to a good four-point outline that will give us some points to consider, and I hope to take with us when this service is over. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, are unto governors, under them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Think with me for just a few minutes from this passage in a lesson that we might call the right use of freedom. I'm persuaded that there are those who make the wrong use of it. In some instances today, I believe I see those who even will include in the name of their organization the idea of liberty, who take it so far that we really forget the idea of true freedom, and may in some instances try to lead us in a direction that would result in chaos. Freedom is important, but it must be understood in the context of God's Word, especially in passages such as this. First, I would suggest to you that all of us must acknowledge the proper authority if we're going to have the right kind of freedom. There is no such thing as freedom without any law or without any condition whatsoever. That would bring about just the opposite of what we enjoy today. And yet there are some who seem to have the idea that there should be no authority, there should be no law, there should be nobody telling me what I'm going to do, that if I'm going to be free, that means I ought to be completely free from any kind of guideline. That was never God's intentions concerning the subject of freedom. God has many lines of authority. In the home, for example, he has given authority to the husband to be the head of the family and to the parents to rear and bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he set that principle of authority into existence at Genesis 2. And Jesus said from the beginning, that's the way it's always been. How could we have families today if we did not have some kind of authority? Some kind of a set of rules or at least guidelines that would govern how we act and react in our family situations. I would humbly suggest to you that one of the reasons we're having so many problems with our families is because we tend to get away from some of those ideas associated with God-given authority. There is authority when we start talking about the church and Christian principles and the spiritual side of matters. Christ is the head of the church. That's a line of authority. Elders are given the oversight within the local congregation. Yes, they are to be examples, but they also are given authority in that they rule over us, over those that are among them. There is a line of authority. And how can there be any freedom in Christ and freedom in our work unless we respect that authority, especially the authority of Jesus Christ as the head of the church? And there is authority in government. In fact, Romans 13 pointed out, if you noticed as the reading was done a few minutes ago, that these who are rulers in each of the lands are really ministers of God. They're not ministers in the same sense that you and I as Christians are. Their purpose is not exactly the same thing. Their goals are not alike, are not like ours exactly. But they're said to be ministers of God. And did you notice that it says there is no power but of God? All the powers that be are ordained of God. That's the idea of authority. And I suggest to you that before we can truly appreciate our freedoms and to ensure that these freedoms will continue in our country, that we must have an appreciation for authority. Relative to government, in Romans 12, Paul said, the words of God, don't avenge yourselves. Because God says, I will take care of it. I will avenge when that needs to take place. I will repay, saith the Lord. And then he explains in those verses in the earlier part of the 13th chapter that this is the way he's going to control the situation, through government, through a type of authority where God has given authority to those that are the rulers, authority that ought to be respected. I think it goes without saying that we all realize that God's authority is higher than the authority of any man or any group of men. And that if there is a conflict, God comes first. And there certainly are some instances in some countries today where people have to consider that and put God even ahead of the rulers. You and I are well blessed in our country in that we have freedom where we can worship God. And although many laws have been passed which would easily allow us to violate God's will, there are few, if any, laws that force us to violate God's will. We can worship God as New Testament Christians in an assembly like this tonight, and leave this building and go out tomorrow and throughout this week and live for God in this community and still respect the authority, the law of the land. And I'm thankful, again, I say it, that I'm a Christian in America, where I have the opportunity to serve God and where I can respect the authority of government and at the same time respect the authority of God. I believe this is suggested in verses 13 and 14. And then in verse 15, there is a suggestion made as we really look at what's being said that we need to learn to stay within the boundaries of that which is good and that which is right. That's the best way to have freedom. It's the best way to have a type of freedom within the family. And that's the best way to have a type of freedom within the church. And certainly, it's the best way for us to have the freedom that we need and the freedom that we want to enjoy in this country, to stay within the boundaries of that which is good and that which is right. In the version that I read, he says, "So is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Some versions translate that by doing good. Well, that's what Christianity is about, you see. Many times we've looked at that description of Jesus where it says he went about doing good, and we realize that that describes his life well. If you and I are going to be like him, that means that we're to go about doing good. We want to do what's right. We even say to our young people many times, one of the best questions to ask when there's a decision to be made is, what is the right thing to do? I believe that's a wonderful approach for us to take as far as the government is concerned. When we get behind the steering wheel and an automobile, what's the right thing to do? What is the right thing to do as far as the speed limit is concerned? What is the right thing to do in our relationship with others within the government, as citizens within the community? God gives us a principle here that will work. And he simply says that as citizens, if we'll always try to do what is right, what is good. It's not by accident that that verse is back in the Old Testament in Proverbs 14 that says, righteousness exalteth a nation. You see, when we live by the principles that are right and we try to do what is right as far as the law is concerned, as far as government is concerned, we're doing what God wants us to do at the same time. And that's one of the best ways to assure and ensure that our freedoms will continue. In verse 16, he says, as free, and yet not using this liberty in the wrong way. He says, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. I believe what he's saying there is that we need to realize that we have a freedom that we ought to preserve, not just for ourselves, but to use this freedom to be servants of others. You know, there is a tendency today for us to emphasize our rights. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll emphasize our own rights at the expense of others. I think we're seeing this happen when the rights of criminals, for example, are overemphasized. And the rights of one being emphasized may run over somebody else, or be insensitive to the feelings of someone else, or fail to consider the needs of someone else. He says, now, when you are free, if you're really free, you're not going to step back and say, I'm free, I don't care what I do and how it affects other people, I'm just going to do what I want, even if it does something that's malicious or something that is ill or causes ill in the life of someone else. He says, rather, true freedom comes when you recognize that you are a servant and you recognize that in this freedom you're to serve other people. You know, that's one of the great parts of the freedoms that we have in this country. Human life is valued in America. Evidently, it is not valued in some other countries. When I sit in front of the television and watch some of the things that are going on, some of these civil wars that are taking place in other countries and where people literally are just mowing down human beings as though they were killing animals or maybe shooting at a bunch of trees, it's evident that in the minds of some, human life doesn't mean a thing. The human person doesn't mean anything. Aren't you thankful that we live in a country where, at least in general terms, the human life is valued? We have problems. There are areas that concern us. There are some areas, especially in the case of the life of the unborn, that we think we are going in the wrong direction. But still, with all those problems, we live in a country where we are encouraged to value the life of a human being. And I am thankful that we live in such a country. As a part of this country and preserving the freedoms that we have, it means that we ought never to be selfish with our freedoms, but share them with others. We ought to try to live in such a way that we do not overrun or run over other people and their feelings. And I think maybe built into this verse and the idea before us is that we need to do everything that we can to preserve these freedoms for the next generation. That it's not something that we just want for ourselves, but that we work to protect and to preserve what we have so that our children and grandchildren and on down the line can have the same opportunities to worship God as we have. Abraham Lincoln said, "Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves, and under a just God cannot long retain it." If we are selfish about our freedoms and we're just interested today in saying, look how free we are and what we can do, and we do not keep this in proper focus relative to the coming generations, Lincoln is saying we don't even deserve the freedoms that we have. And then in the next verse, in verse 17, he indicates that if we're going to have the freedoms that we have and enjoy them in the right way, that we need to be able to honor all men. There may be a special relationship with the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood, he says. In fact, there are verses that point that out. And certainly, if we're going to honor those who have been given authority by the Heavenly Father, we need to fear and respect God. And it causes me a great deal of pain when I go back and read what's said by our founding fathers and how much they depended on God and emphasized God, and see what's happening in some areas today. But still, with all those problems, we still have the best area of the world in which to fear God and respect God and worship God and at the same time honor all men. And though we may be disappointed in our leaders sometimes, and we may not appreciate them, and sometimes we even joke about them, we need to stop and be serious on occasions and in the right way and realize how we are to honor and appreciate those who lead us in a country where the human life is emphasized and where freedoms are important. Yes, I think in this passage, just some simple ideas that if we're going to have the right use of freedom, number one, we must acknowledge the importance of authority and respect authority in the right way. Number two, we need to be sure that we try to stay within the boundaries of what's right as far as God's laws are concerned and as far as the laws of the land are concerned. We need to work not just to enjoy the freedoms ourselves, but to preserve them for the generations that shall follow if God lets this earth continue, so that those who will come after us will have the same opportunity to be able to worship the God of heaven in a setting of freedom as we do. And that's going to come about with a combination of fearing God and honoring all men. We need to thank God for the freedoms that we have and use them in the right way. And perhaps tonight at this time, we need to go just one step further and thank God for the freedoms that we have, spiritually speaking, in Christ Jesus. The true freedom that we have even from sin. And being able to be made free from sin and become a servant of righteousness, Romans 6, 17 and 18, and serve Jesus Christ in that way. You know, one of the great blessings that Jesus gives us as a Savior and the opportunity that he offers us in being his children is to be free from sin. When we're baptized into him, we'll be cleansed from our sin. We'll be free from those. It'll be as though we never had them. And his blood can continue to cleanse us from all sin. True freedom in the spiritual sense is in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we emphasize the freedom that we have in this country and the opportunities that we have wherein we can worship God, even above that, let's emphasize the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And if you are not free in Christ, if you are not free from your sins, you need to come to him as together we stand and sing.